I'm here in my living room, peering through my mini blinds at a man who's sawing off something under my neighbor's car. Yep, this guy is stealing catalytic converters. And if you report thieves like him, you could get a reward up to $25,000. Just submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. That's H-E-A-T. The Virginia State Police HEAT Program. Reported. Rewarded.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
How's it going, everyone? It's Dr. Madeira back here on the Dr. Madeira Show, and I'm very excited today because we have Dr. Bob Harding here from Austin, Texas. How's it going, Dr. Bob?
It's going well. It's still 100 degrees, so it's all good.
Oh, it's hot. Yeah, I'm up here in Whitefish, Montana. It's was 74 today, but it's dropping pretty fast. We're supposed to get some rain tomorrow, I think. Yeah, trying to stay warm. We got some pretty intense temperature fluctuations up here in the Flathead Valley. Really pumped to have you on the podcast, and I'm really excited to have you share your wisdom from your own personal journey as a hardworking man in medicine, as well as your expertise in epigenetics. So I'm going to read off your bio here so everybody knows who you are. Dr. Harding graduated from Sunny at Stony Brook with a BS in pharmacology. He then attended osteopathic medical school at Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. He went on to complete a four-year emergency medicine residency at Lehigh Valley Hospital in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He moved to Austin, Texas, and worked as an emergency physician and patient physician administrator for over a decade. In his late 30s, after desiring better health and knowledge of optimizing health, he started a fellowship in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona under Dr. Andrew Weil. He further studied functional medicine through the Institute of Functional Medicine, age management medicine through CNNgenetics, and genetics and epigenetics through the Apeiron Academy. Dr. Harding has also done courses in botanical medicine with Dr. Lodog, who is awesome. He has developed an obsession with longevity and health optimization. He founded Integrative and Precision Medicine, PLC, that provides medical services at the Apeiron Center for Human Potential in Austin, Texas. As a self-described workaholic, in years of shift work in the ER, Dr. Harding's own health began to deteriorate by the age of 40. He was obese, pre-diabetic, and suffered with relentless heartburn. He began his journey to optimal health through integrative and precision medicine. Today, he is proud of losing over 40 pounds and feels better than he did at age 30. Taking systems approach to lifestyle modification, utilizing supplementation and hormone optimization has made a huge impact on his vitality and passion for health optimization. Dr. Harding was very involved in his emergency medicine physician group as a medical director and managing partner for several years. He has enjoyed many aspects of increasing efficiency and utilizing technology to improve patient experience and care. Dr. Harding has worked in about 17 different emergency departments in Central Texas. From his experience, he is seeing patients becoming more chronically ill at younger ages. Unfortunately, lifestyle is the largest contributing factor to chronic disease that is not addressed in the conventional medical model. Dr. Harding has teamed up with a group of like-minded individuals with Apeiron in Austin, Texas. Dr. Harding enjoys transforming the lives of his clients by developing personalized human optimizational plans. So yeah, we met in, I believe it was Toronto in April 2018.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that was awesome. We had kind of become Facebook friends through the Living Proof Institute mentorship with Sachin Patel. And then we got to hang out in Toronto in April and finally get to chat and stuff. And then you were telling me about the work you're starting to do more of with Apeiron in Austin. And I'm really excited that you're offering your time up to people. I know you're a busy dad and busy working doctor. So do you want to just kind of explain what you do at Apeiron for the listeners and kind of what you would want somebody to know before they would come into your clinic?
Sure. We have a pretty comprehensive program at Apeiron. We take a look at people's genetics. So we have a cheek swab kit we send to clients, and that prints out a 76-page report that goes through specific dietary macros that might be beneficial depending on certain SNPs, people's risk factors for insulin resistance, people's risk of eating too much saturated fat, especially if they have something like the ApoE gene. We also look at nutrition, whether they would benefit from certain kind of supplements, maybe sublingual B12 or injections of B12. We also look at some of the ways the people may break down hormones in their system, where they're going to make more DHT, dihydrotestosterone. We look at different SNPs that might affect detoxification pathways, like glutathione and methylation, and detoxification from smoke and air pollution. And we look at athletic genes, too, to kind of determine what kind of exercises might be best for them. So the genes are kind of a blueprint, but a lot of times with these genetic reports, you really have to interact with somebody to see if it really pertains to them. So we start with the genes. We send out a huge questionnaire and then really get a lot of information from our clients. We do two cognitive tests that they do online before they get there. We do extensive blood work with looking at their cholesterol, inflammatory markers, even a plant sterol test, which plant sterols is a test that's done if people, sterols are made by plants, and some people are hyperabsorbers of sterols. And if you're a hyperabsorber, there's a good chance when you absorb that into your blood, some of those sterols, they're like cholesterol molecules, will get stuck to your blood vessels and can contribute to heart disease. That's one of the tests we do. We look at all the hormones too.
Excellent.
And you know, people come in the center. It's a 2-day evaluation. They get to meet with me like 4 hours on the first day, 2 to 4 hours on the second day, and we do different tests. And we do DEXA scanning to look at muscle mass and bone density and fat mass, visceral fat mass. Then we also have a 3D fit machine that we use that's in house that we can follow people with whenever they come in. We do muscle testing with something called the NewFit machine. It kind of electrically stimulates the muscles, and we can look at patterns of tension. We do a movement evaluation. We do capnography testing and a psychophysiology profile. So we actually test people's breathing and look at how they're blowing off carbon dioxide. And a lot of times what we find is people are shallow breathing and they breathe too fast. Mm-hmm. So people will get some training on breathing when they come into the center. And then we also can do continuous training when they go home over Zoom with some of our epigenetic coaches.
That's awesome.
It's pretty extensive. And then they have month-to-month visits with me and one of our coaches too.
That's great. And is the coach a functional medicine health coach? Or
They're trained through the Apeiron Epigenetic Coaching Academy.
Okay.
And then they have extra training on the breathing techniques. And we have people that work on mindset. We have they also work with clients with tailoring a good diet that makes sense for the client. So it's all personalized.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing what you can do there with modern genetics and epigenetics medicine and really personalizing it for people, like you said, where instead of just saying, oh, everyone should have this diet, you can really get it down to their lifestyle and what their lifestyle should be. So going back to some of the insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, since I really want the men and women listening to the podcast to understand, you know, some of the key genetics. You mentioned a pretty well-known one, ApoE genotype. Maybe we should start there so people can understand the benefits and the pros and cons if they don't get such a test done and they just go about their life?
Yeah, I think this is a good test to get. You can get it as a blood test. You can get it on your 23andMe. You can get it in a bunch of different genetic tests. So the APOE gene is a lot of research on it, and people who have a 3-4 or a 4-4 are at increased risk for Alzheimer's disease. And the most common allele you'll see is a 3-3. And I actually have a 3-3. But when people have a 3-4 or 4-4, a lot of times we like to decrease the saturated fat intake that they take in. So a lot of times we'll decrease their calories to about 5% saturated fat. And we kind of tailor a diet around that. Because we also find that if they're increasing their saturated fat, it increases chances for inflammation and cardiac disease along with Alzheimer's disease. So that's one of the most well-known genes out there.
So with somebody maybe eating a more extreme diet, like a carnivore diet, if they don't have the APOE 3-4 test, APOE genotype test done to see if they were 3-4 or 4-4, they could be at risk at Alzheimer's and, you know, potentially have a heart attack or stroke. Is that what we're looking at for them in the future?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, some of the research shows you have a 10 to 30x odds ratio of developing Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, a 10 times risk if you're a 4-4 is 10 to 30 is pretty high. So whatever you can do lifestyle-wise, decreasing inflammation, mitigating the risk of insulin resistance and sleep, making sure you're, you know, I like to have my clients get 3 hours of combined deep and REM sleep. That's a goal. Mm-hmm. Some people can do that easily. A lot of people can't. And there's even a lot of research showing that if you're not sleeping well like that, you increase your chances for Alzheimer's disease. So that's another big thing that I like to coach people on is sleep.
Yeah, that's huge today. I've been actually listening to Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep, on Audible, and it will blow anybody's mind right out of the water about being kind of all gung-ho about surviving on 5 hours of sleep and getting through a long work day as a dude or a lady. That's, you know, those days are over, you know. Yeah. Thinking that we can still push through and not have repercussions for our health.
I'm on a city street in Virginia, standing in an empty parking space where just last night Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded. I'm on a city street in Virginia, standing in an empty parking space where just last night Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded.
We have so much information and research, like you just said. So for somebody coming to you, what are your kind of other tests that you would want to test for a guy who you might think has low testosterone, or you want to know what's happening with their testosterone going to DHT and maybe preventing cardiovascular disease, reversing metabolic syndrome?
So, you know, we had this epidemic of low testosterone out there. Maybe it's related to guys being fatter when they get older. Maybe it's related to the endocrine disrupting chemicals in the environment today, you know, in our drinking water and all the plastics that we're exposed to from food. You know, I like to eat Kind bars, but, you know, those Kind bars are, you know, I like the low glycemic index ones, like 5 grams of sugar, but mm-hmm. they're wrapped in plastic. So we find a lot of low testosterone levels and people kind of feeling fatigued. And we'll do like a free testosterone level and also a total testosterone. We'll do a serum hormone binding globulin and then an estradiol level, and also check like DHEA and kind of see where people are at. And if you know, if lifestyle is not working for them to increase that, we'll supplement that usually in injection form. We don't do pellets here. Mm-hmm. People want to do creams, the scrotal cream, that's another option too. But it's it can make a big difference in someone's life. If they have a, let's say, like a total level of 250 or 300 and you replace it and it gets up to 800 or 900 or 1,000, they're usually feeling a lot better. But you have to also do all the lifestyle stuff. You can't be drinking lots of alcohol. You can't be not sleeping. You can't be not exercising to really get the full effect of testosterone replacement.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I have patients that I'm still coaching on working on their sleep and cutting back on booze. And if there's a guy listening to this and you're on low-dose testosterone therapy and you're not working on those things and testosterone stopped working for you, it's probably not the testosterone, it's probably your life. So, you know, that's what got us, you know, us guys is what gets us guys into the situation of having low T. Maybe let's kind of turn back to your personal story. I did read it in your bio, but I think it would be powerful for people to hear your personal story being an ER doc and kind of the hours and the schedule that was your daily life and what you did for your own health that really made a big benefit, whatever you're comfortable sharing, obviously.
Sure.
For listeners.
You know, I fell in love with emergency medicine when I was a medical student. I did a rotation down in University of I did it at Jackson Memorial in Miami, which is like was a renowned kind of place for really sick patients. I saw like a lot of people with HIV complications, and I was a third year medical student doing a lot of stuff that probably shouldn't have been doing at the time. But mm-hmm. I also liked the ER show. I grew up with that show. I was like, wow, this is great. And then I had some really good ER rotations. And then I decided to do my residency in emergency medicine. And I really never got, I got addicted to that sympathetic tone and that fight or flight response. And I never kind of learned how to relax. I left residency, started working a lot of shifts. Then I took on a lot of administrative duties. I was on call 24 hours a day, you know, get interrupted with issues at the ER. Sometimes if someone got sick, I had to drop everything. I was at my parents came to visit me for Thanksgiving. I had to leave and go work a shift. Another time, one of the doctors went into supraventricular tachycardia and they turned on the helicopter lights. We're going to fly her out. I had to go up there. It's an hour away from my house. So I was kind of, yeah, lived in this high sympathetic tone. And by the time I was 40, I just wasn't feeling well. I gained a lot of weight. I was 40 pounds overweight. I had two young kids, just working nonstop, maybe 4 days off a month, because I was still working a lot of weekends and going back from nights to days, working a night shift and then staying awake all day, going to meetings. It just mm-hmm. kind of burnt me out. I never went to the doctor. I remember, I was probably in my late 30s. I was at my dad's house visiting and I took a blood sugar. It was like 146, a fasting blood glucose. And I kind of ignored it. I was like, oh, that's pretty bad. So finally I decided I went to a nurse practitioner that she did some functional medicine and hormone stuff. And I had found out I had low testosterone and my thyroid was kind of burnt out. Mm-hmm. So I started. Before that, I started losing some weight. I lost 10 pounds or so, and I used to have this horrible heartburn, and it just went away. And I also got rid of a couple of my jobs. I wasn't really happy with the jobs I was doing. I had a lot of success getting things done to really help patients and change and make things efficient. And then things just weren't going well. Like the hospital system didn't want to invest money, and I just couldn't get anything done. So I was pretty frustrated with a lot of my admin jobs. So once I got rid of the jobs, lost 10 pounds, my heartburn went away, lost another 10 pounds, lost 20 pounds, then started testosterone and thyroid replacement, lost another 20 pounds, really started to work out, really adopted the paleo diet, low carb, and intermittent fasting, and just felt a lot better. And things really, really did well for me. Now, I have a goal to get a six pack, and I've been trying to do that for about 2.5 years. I'm having some challenges with that, but really once you can, I think, drop the first 10 pounds, if you never were able to drop 10 pounds, it just can make a big difference in how you feel. And, I remember, you know, trying to bend over, tie my shoes was a challenge, and, you know, running around with the kids was a challenge. And, just that first bump can really make a difference in how you feel. And if you get your hormones, checked, you start testosterone, you're going to burn fat. If your diet's in control, if you're intermittent fasting and you're working out, there's a good chance you'll lose weight pretty quick.
That's a powerful story. And you mentioned in your bio that you sent me, and I read 40 pounds. In how much time roughly did you lose 40 pounds?
I think in about, probably about 6 to 8 months. So it wasn't a drastic weight loss, and I've really been able to maintain that. I was like 220, and yep. I remember I got it on Facebook, hit 199. That was a big deal, you know, and then 189 was good. And then 179, I've been in between 176 and 186. I'm probably about 177 to 180 right now. So I'd like to lose another 5 pounds of fat and trying to gain some muscle. And, you know, as we get older, you know, muscle mass and bone strength is important. As a ER doctor, I see all these people, frail people, fall and break a hip, and it's devastating for them. They lose, they have to go to nursing home, a lot of them. They have some spinal fractures and a lot of pain. So, you know, bone health and muscle health is real important, and flexibility and stability.
Yeah, I agree 100%. In the research, we know that, I mean, you're seeing it every day in real life, but for the listener who can't kind of wrap their head around what that looks like, we know that the mortality rate just plummets, you know, or goes up. People are dying more quickly after hip fractures, right? After, you know, elderly population, geriatric population, hip fractures, you know, as some people say, the kiss of death in some cases. So yeah, I agree 100%, you know, weight bearing exercise and doing all the stuff that you're talking about, and testosterone helps protect the bones, helps protect the brain and with your genetic testing, that's really powerful. Maybe we can go back to talking about some of the genetics that you're really excited about right now with your patients and what they are and what they look at.
So we print out a 76-page report, and one of the first things we look at is hunger and satiety. So hunger is that feeling of wanting to eat. Satiety is that feeling of wanting to be full. So we look at receptors and different SNPs involved with adiponectin. So adiponectin is a hormone released by fat cells, and it helps modulate glucose metabolism and fatty acid metabolism. So we'll find if people have poor receptors, then they'll have problems with hunger is one thing. And other things we look at is like leptin. So leptin, if you're obese, a lot of times you'll get leptin resistance. Leptin's released from the brain and acts on the stomach, and that has to do with your hunger levels. So we take a look at these different SNPs, and we have an algorithm, and it kind of determines there's some that have higher impact and ones that are lower impact, whether someone's going to have a typical hunger, a lower hunger, or a higher hunger, and then satiety too. So things we do if someone's genes show that they're going to have a higher hunger is we'll do things to help increase their BDNF, which is a hormone in the brain that helps them with their satiety. And so intermittent fasting is a big one. Holy basil is another one that can increase BDNF in the brain, a low carb diet, and sleep. And there's with Matthew Walker, if anybody can listen to any of the podcasts he's on, he's been on a bunch in this kind of health field. He's a great speaker, and I'm in his book. I haven't read yet, but I'm sure that's excellent. But if you're not sleeping, a lot of times you're going to increase your carbohydrate intake. You're going to have increased hunger. And if you have the genes where you're having increased hunger and low satiety, you're going to eat a lot more food. So when it comes to satiety, we like to coach people, if they have low satiety, they're not able to get full that quick, we'll have them increase a bulking diet. So we'll have them eat things like cauliflower rice, broccoli, lots of vegetables, instead of loading up on just plain rice and bread and things like that. And they can become pretty mindful of, you know, okay, let's bulk up with a bunch of vegetables and then add in the other, you know, fats and proteins, and you'll end up not having to eat 4,000 calories to feel full. So sleep is definitely one of the big things. And we also like to use the sauna, definitely exercise. Omega-3 fatty acids can help. Monounsaturated fatty acids like found in olive oil, macadamia nuts. This all can help with hunger and satiety. So that's like the first thing we'll go through. Because a lot of our clients come in and everybody is worried about fat loss. Very, very few of our clients are not worried about fat loss and body composition. So
yeah. So what percent of your clients are, if you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer, are men, and what percent are female, and are they all adults?
Yeah, right. We see all adults. It's about 50-50. So we have clients that, you know, that are older in their 60s and 70s, and people even in their early 30s. And some people with more cognition issues, and we work with different peptides and to help them with that, along with the lifestyle stuff and hormone optimization and coaching with the diet and exercise. So we have a whole gamut of people. People that get on stage a lot that want to look good is one of the things. People want better sleep is a big thing.
And what is being the most effective for people who have issues with sleep? What are you seeing treatments that you're using have the most success rate?
Well, a lot of it's lifestyle stuff. So good sleep hygiene, making sure the room is cold, maybe a sleep mask, make sure it's really dark in the room. We tried different supplements. Getting out in the morning is good. So 20 minutes of light in the morning, and then wearing blue blocker glasses and decreasing usage of electronics. Some people might benefit more from melatonin. So we do a genetic report about melatonin, whether they're going to be fast metabolizers and whether they're going to possibly respond better to it. So we have a genetic test that kind of shows us that. So the same genes that burn out, that metabolize caffeine also metabolize melatonin. So people who are fast metabolizers of caffeine will also be fast metabolizers of melatonin. So melatonin is one. We do like 0.3 milligrams to 3 milligrams, nothing overly too high. Glycine at night, magnesium glycinate. I like to use kava, valerian root. You got to see how people react. Some people might feel a little bit more hungover with valerian root, and even with too much melatonin. So
yeah, I see that a lot.
I've been using a supplement Yana myself too. It's by HVMN, I think. It's got magnesium glycinate and glycine and melatonin in it. So it's.
What was the name of the supplement and the company again?
Yeah, it's called Yon.
Okay.
By HVMN. They're one of the only companies that make the ketone esters too.
Oh, cool. I like that name, Yon. That's kind of funny. That's good marketing. So, yeah.
And there's different, there's a sleeping peptide, DHIP, that people get 50-50 results on that. And some people get pretty good sleep with MK677. That's ibutamorin. Uh-huh. That's also used for muscle and bones. Stimulates the pituitary to release more growth hormone. So,
excellent. Yeah.
If you can, ipamorelin and CJC 1295, that can help have some benefits too for people's sleep.
Yeah, peptides are really a big rave right now. And I think you mentioned that you're a member of the International Peptide Society. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. And excellent. A lot of good information, great group of physicians and all different kinds of, pharmacists and a lot of people in that group. And they have a clinical discussion board and go through cases. And I gain a lot of good insight and information on different protocols for that.
Yeah, that's one area that I'm really excited to get into myself. And like using that with patients. And there's a lot more interest into peptides today than I remember being in 2013, 2014, when I was working at a low testosterone clinic in Seattle and around Seattle, worked at a couple. And basically, you know, people are just really excited now and really pumped about peptides, where I don't remember anybody really talking about it back then. So that's awesome that you're using this with patients down in Austin. And you do work with patients outside of Texas or just within Texas? Let's say if I had a patient from California I wanted to send you, you know, could they fly over and see you and then do virtual visits?
Yeah, we have a lot of people from out of town. So yeah, international people too. So they just, they have to fly in the center. We do our evaluations and then everything can be done over Zoom. So it works out pretty well.
That's awesome. So I want to talk about a couple other genetic tests that you do. What other tests do you look at for detoxification and any other hormone tests that you're excited about and you find really useful for your patients?
So on the genetics, we look at a little bit about estrogen metabolism, but then we like to follow that up with the Dutch test to see if people are making more of the toxic metabolites from estrogen metabolism. So that's the 4-hydroxy metabolite that we get a little bit more concerned about increased cancer risk if you have too much of that metabolite. And you could put people on something called DIM that kind of shifts that away from that, shifts the estrogen metabolism away from the toxic metabolite. Some of the genetics tests could kind of give us some insight whether someone might make more DHT if they have testosterone. So that's something you worry about with hair loss potentially.
Mm-hmm.
The Dutch test also can help see if there's a possibility that someone's hemoglobin hematocrit might increase if on one of the pathways there, if they're taking testosterone supplementation. And then we look at cortisol. So we have in our genetic report, we'll look at the cortisol receptor response and whether that's low or normal. And we can kind of look at the Dutch test and kind of correlate that. So, you know, the genetic tests are there. Now, not everything plays out epigenetically. So we have an insulin resistance score. So if you have a score of greater than 50, that increases your chances for insulin resistance. I've seen people with scores of 79, and because they live a certain lifestyle, their hemoglobin A1C and their fasting insulin levels are totally normal, optimal.
Right.
Someone like me, I have a score of 59% or 61% of my insulin resistance score, and I live a certain lifestyle, and I also take metformin that really helps. I got my hemoglobin A1C to 4.8 from 5.4.
Oh, excellent. And what is the dose that you like to start patients on for metformin for both insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, prediabetes, as well as longevity? Because that's kind of all the rave, and there's been a lot of chatter about that in some of the doctor Facebook groups we're in.
Yeah. So I like to do like 500 milligrams for a week and then do 500 milligrams twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. And now, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether on the days you work out, maybe you shouldn't take that metformin. So say if you're taking it for more longevity or you just have a little bit of insulin resistance, maybe skipping it the day you work out might be beneficial. There's talk that it can affect the muscle mitochondria and maybe muscle, increasing muscle mass. So, you know, sometimes I'll skip on a day that I'm doing a really hard workout since I am trying to gain some muscle.
Yeah, that's a really good insight. I remember seeing that New York Times article, and there's a lot of debate about metformin around exercise and how it affects different cytochromes and the electron transport chain and mitochondria and the muscles. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. With the genetics, one of the biggest concerns a lot of patients have today, and I think this would be a great topic to get into, is hyperaromatization, converting too much testosterone to estradiol and estrogens, total estrogens, and the estrogen metabolites. With genetic testing, before somebody gets on low T therapy, is there a genetic test that you're looking at, aromatase specifically, and how active it is in their body?
Well, it gives a probability, so it doesn't always play out when you do the testing. Mm-hmm. So it's just something to keep an eye on, and you know, there's a lot of debate in the testosterone replacement community about whether you need to, if having a high estradiol level is bad for you or if it's good for you. Some people say there's cardiovascular benefits when it's over 45.
Yep.
We definitely know it helps with your bone and helps with your brain function. If it's at a good level, and if it's too low, it's going to definitely affect your bones. That's one of the reasons why older men, they make testosterone, then some of that testosterone gets aromatized or changed into estradiol. And if they have low testosterone levels, they'll have low estradiol levels, and then they'll have increased risk for cognitive decline, cardiac disease, and osteoporosis. So, you know, the women tend not to get heart disease as much until after menopause. And that's a lot of times we think that's because they have good levels of estrogen until they're about 50. I think the average age of menopause is about 50 to 52. So,
Yeah, that's a really valid point. And, you know, like you said, this debate is still playing out in the testosterone replacement or testosterone optimization therapy communities. And, you know, there's other doctors talking about this on other podcasts and influencers, et cetera. And basically, from what I've found through excelmail.com, people can check that out. That's Nelson Virgil's online kind of testosterone chat group. And he has videos and a lot of research-based information. And he interviewed, I believe it was a physician, a medical doctor who's a sexual medicine and anti-aging medicine specialist, but I believe trained as a urologist in Houston, Texas, or somewhere in one of the bigger towns in Texas. And he was saying specifically that we don't have an upper limit, but he's looking at 20 to 80 picograms per deciliter of estradiol while people are on low-dose testosterone therapy. So, I mean, like you said, we don't really know, and we're still trying to figure it out because we don't have large research trials that go on, I think, beyond 5 years for low-dose testosterone therapy at this point, and none of them have really, in great numbers, looked at what's the upper safe limit of estradiol, or does it even really matter? But what we do know, like you said, is that below 20 picograms per deciliter estradiol is dangerous for fracturing bones or hips. And, you know, there's been stories, not research, but stories of, you know, healthy, buff, fit 40-year-old male, you know, tripping and falling in the airport, fracturing a hip, and other stories like that. And they're on low-dose testosterone therapy and they're taking, you know, an AI, an aromatase inhibitor, like anastrozole, or also known as Arimidex. So, definitely something for the guys listening to the podcast to get your estradiol and even total estrogens checked in your blood. You know, for me, I test patients in the first year every 3 months at a minimum. And then after that, you know, 4 to 6 months in the second and third years. For you, are you seeing a lot of patients come in from other testosterone clinics around you or who have already been on low-dose testosterone therapy and they're on a lot of these aromatase inhibitors, or is that not something that's showing up at your
door? Yeah, you know, with people that come in on pellets, and then we kind of let the pellets dissolve out, and then we'll start them mostly on shots. I tend to like the guys that do two shots a week, Tuesday, Friday. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I do. I have them start with that or whatever works for their lifestyle. And, you know, if their levels, you can also do it three times a week. Some really intense people do it every day, which is just, that's a lot of work, but
yeah, you know, that's a lot.
And, you know, HCG, you can just do HCG and people get pretty good levels too. So there's a lot of options, and you just kind of, that's why it's important to test the blood levels. It's important to work with a physician, you know, most likely outside of the conventional medical system, where you're in good contact and you're following the labs and seeing how people do, because it's, you know, it's not cookie cutter for everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And one thing that I hear a lot of the time is that patients will come into my clinic in Seattle and they'll say, well, my primary care doctor tested my testosterone. And, you know, they just check their total testosterone. We have no free testosterone. We don't know what's going on with their, you know, hematocrit or hemoglobin, their estradiol, and all those kind of general screening for testosterone, you know, therapy checklist before you get started. So if people are listening to this, make sure you go see Dr. Bob Harding and get a full screening and get your genetics and epigenetic outlook on your hormones and your insulin resistance, et cetera. One thing that's really shocking, I think, to a lot of people is that people can be looking relatively healthy. And I've heard this a lot directed towards me personally, because I am tall and thin pretty much my whole life, but I have wrestled with insulin resistance in med school. We had a vegetarian cafeteria, and in med school, we don't sleep that much. At least I didn't. But they had great pastries, so I would just gorge on these pastries in the afternoon and then crash, and I started to get some signs of insulin resistance and basically reversed it by changing more to a paleo diet and really avoiding the sugar and using cinnamon, which worked for me in pretty high dosages for a period of time. But what my point of sharing that is that you can have somebody that appears relatively healthy, but they still can have insulin resistance. And we're seeing this in large numbers in Japan, where people are relatively thin, but they're eating so much white rice and other sweets that they have diabetes. So with everything you're sharing with everybody, how can people find you and online, and what is kind of the process for them to become a patient at your clinic there in Austin?
Sure. They can look at apeironcenter.com or drbobharding.com, and they can get in touch with me, and you know, go on a discovery call and see if it's a good fit.
Excellent. And you are accepting new patients at this time?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Excellent. And are you still working in the ER, or are you transitioning more to a Apeiron, or where are you at with the ER these days?
Yeah, I'm still working the ER. I worked last night, so.
Oh yeah.
I didn't sleep much and gotta get up in the morning on Wednesday at 4:30. At least I have off tomorrow, so.
Oh, that's good.
I gotta do more of my social media stuff. Like you, you're really doing a stellar job with posting really informative stuff. I really like to read your stuff.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, if guys are listening, you can join us in the private group Live Strong. It's men only, so I will not accept women. And I've fortunately had to remove some women of all ages from the group that snuck in there somehow. I don't know who invited them, but it's men only because we need to talk about sexual health and male issues that are private and sensitive. So men only, but go ahead and join up. Any adult male can join, 18 and older. So yeah, I'm really excited to have you on the show, and thanks for sharing everything you did for everybody today. And I hope that everybody got a lot out of it. I know that I did, and you know, it's making me think more about my genetics and looking at those in a deeper dive. Because it does inform our lifestyle and our nutrition, and it can help us live longer. And I definitely think that's the future of medicine, and you're ahead of the curve there in Austin with the Apeiron Center. And people are definitely lucky to have you as a physician with all your experience and background. So if people can check out Dr. Bob Harding, definitely do it. It'll save you tons of money later, prevent you from having to spend more money in a hospital than later on in your life, and hopefully keep you healthier longer and there in your later years. You know, there are no promises in medicine, but we can definitely do better than we've been doing with conventional medicine for chronic disease care prevention, etc. Any parting thoughts or parting messages that you want people to hear?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is behavioral change, and the genetic piece is part of that. We also follow people with biometric data. So we use the Oura Ring or the Garmin watch. All of our clients get that. And I get to log in and kind of see what the the Garmin watch we really like because it also does a lot of sport performance and exercise stuff, and it does a really good stress score, which evaluates heart rate variability. So we can follow people's stress score. We follow their sleep, their deep and their REM sleep. We can follow their steps, their vigorous activity. And people that don't like to watch wear the watch is a little bit more expensive. It's like $600 or $700. And then the Oura Ring, I think, is about $300. And the Oura Ring is really good for sleep, and it kind of gives you this readiness score. And the readiness score seems to be pretty legit. I mean, I have a lot of people that wear it, and if they get over a 90 readiness score, they said they feel great for that day. If they get a 75, they tend not to feel that great. So all this stuff is all about behavior change, and whatever can drive you to lead a healthy lifestyle, lead you to sleep better, is going to be better for you in the long run. Because if you're not tracking it, you don't know it.
Well said. Yeah. Yeah. What we don't measure, we can't improve. And
that's right.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's awesome that you offer those tools for people, because a lot of people don't know about those. I mean, the people that I know about them are usually physicians, and they've been using it for a while and posting on social media. But if people are willing to invest in their health and go all in, which I believe everybody should be, if you're going to work with doctors like us, then, you know, investing in tools like that can help you measure your outcomes and, you know, really look at, okay, well, melatonin doesn't work for me, or, you know, valerian doesn't work for me. I have a crappy readiness score today, or drinking those two glasses of wine, even though they were organic and I had a great night, didn't really bode well for my readiness score, et cetera. And I've even seen things as sensitive as just having a couple bites of chocolate before bed. Sure. On people's Oura Rings, which is kind of blows my mind and maybe some other people's mind. It makes sense to me, but you know, we didn't have this kind of data 6 years ago. We didn't have this kind of technology. So it's exciting to see what you're doing with the genetics and the epigenetics and the advanced lab testing and these tools to measure people's outcomes. Again, you know, really grateful to have you on the show. I appreciate your time, and I'm excited to, you know, follow what you're doing and see what you're at in the future, and keep in touch about all the awesome stuff you're doing in Austin with for people for their optimal health. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. I'll talk to you soon.
Now here's for my mandatory disclaimer. This is a medical information podcast and is only for general information purposes. It does not substitute or constitute the practice of medicine or any medical practices, including the giving of medical advice to any individual. And please observe that no doctor-patient relationship has been formed here. This medical podcast offers health, hormone, fitness, and nutrition information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitution for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional. Do not disregard, avoid, or delay obtaining medical or health-related advice and appropriate treatment from your healthcare professional. Users should seek the care of their physician or healthcare professional for any such conditions. The use of any information provided on this podcast is solely at your own risk. The contents and topics of this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA nor approved by any other government or official body. The topics and content covered is not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease or disorder of any kind. Developments in medical research may impact the health, fitness, and nutritional advice that appears here on the podcast in the future episodes. No assurance can be given that the advice contained in this podcast will always include the most recent findings or developments in medicine with respect to the particular material covered. If you are in the United States and think you are having a medical or health emergency, call your healthcare professional or 911 immediately. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and looking forward to have you on future podcasts. Thank you.